Good morning and welcome to Osage Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us this morning. I want to make a shout out this morning to Mick and Teresa. You've been on my heart and we haven't talked, but I'm going to reach out to you. I think Scout still owes Mick a return call. So Mick and Teresa, hope you're watching. Let's pray before we begin our service this morning. Lord, I pray for our nation. I pray that people would turn off the news and turn off their Facebook feeds and open their Bible. That's where we find our security. That's where our sustenance is found. Jesus, you're the answer. I pray for those who are searching and those who are looking to the world for answers, and they're trying to find stability in the things of the world, and they continue to come up empty-handed, Lord. And we know that there's nothing but futility to be found there. Lord, you are the way. Help them see that by the power of your Spirit, by the truth of your word. I pray for those who are watching and listening this morning. If they haven't considered Jesus, I pray that they would respond with a yes. It's our desire here, Lord, at Osage Baptist Church, that people would come to a saving faith in your Son and that you would be glorified in all that we do. We commit this time to you in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Good morning, everyone. We're going to sing an old song called Send the Light. One, two, three.
Their call comes ringing o'er the restless way. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light. Send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, we'll send the light. Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary.
Sage, good morning, teenagers. I went to a little thing last night at Harrison. They had a drive-through thing for some of the sports kids and got to see some of the high school seniors that I worked with. And man, I miss you guys. I really do. Me and Holly have been talking about that. We just miss being with you guys and seeing you all and having fun. And we're looking at some new games and stuff to play, and, you know, we wait till this week, find out about Siloam Springs, what we're going to do there. Still waiting on that. For whatever reason, if we don't have it, guys, I will make it up to you. We will do something. We will get together and have a time, I promise. I sat in there at the house a couple of days ago doing some projects, and I was having a little pity party, I'm sick of this. I'm just sick of all this stuff, not having to do the work and stuff, just things being the way they are. And, I reached down and wiped my sleeve, and As y'all know, Holly works at a Crusoe in Berryville, and I get lots of good t-shirts and hats and all that stuff. And well, I had on my sleeve, it said, "Hold fast." And I just kind of sat there a minute and got to thinking about that. What does hold fast really mean? So I kind of got to looking at it, you know, and I even run in and asked Holly. I said, "Hey, what scripture did you all get to?" So she called the company, and, you know, they was trying to tell us where they got it from. But I started looking it up myself, and I just kind of looked at it. And, you know, hold fast means remain tightly secured, continue to believe in something, remain determined, unyielding. You look at, you know, I like what it was in the Urban Dictionary. Hold fast said just bear down, grit it out, and stay the course. And that's exactly what we need to do. Just remember who's in charge. And, you know, in Joshua 23:8, it says, "But you shall hold fast to the Lord your God as you have done till this day." And then you look over in Revelations 2:25, it tells us, "But hold fast what you have till I come." Guys, he's coming. All right, he is coming. We're going through some tough times right now. But we just got to hold fast and ride it out. And, you know, we're going to get through it. And when we come back, we're not going to come back and be normal. We're going to get after it. You know, all right? We need to start reaching people. We're going to have new people coming through that door. And we're going to reach them. So we're going to hold fast. We're going to ride this out. Let Jesus be in charge. And we're going to win. All right? I've read the book. We win at the end. Okay, so we miss you guys. Stay in contact. And by the way, the cake sure was good Holly made for you. Love you.
Good morning, Awana, kids, leaders. You know, during this coronavirus pandemic, there's a lot of people helping other people, showing love, doing different things to help people out. And you know, that's exactly what Jesus told us to do. Throughout the Bible, God gives us an example of lots of people showing honor and love to others. But showing love isn't very easy when your sister or your brother is being mean or hateful or selfish, is it? Or when we're tired and hungry, putting others first also isn't very easy. But you know, God calls us to love others. He calls us to show honor to others. And this week's verse talks about that. It's Romans 12:10. "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another." And it just means love each other, be happy to put others first. As in weeks past, I've put this verse on the church's Facebook page. Comment on the post if you memorize it and recite it to your parents. I love you. I miss you. Can't wait to be back together.
We've got a few announcements to make this morning. There's going to be a church council meeting on Wednesday, May 6th at 6 o'clock. Again, we will be practicing social distancing and safety precautions, so if you can make it, please attend. We're going to be waiting on Governor Hutchinson's announcement tomorrow to determine what our next steps are going to be, but we're going to have that discussion on Wednesday, May 6th. We continue to be blessed by your giving and your generosity. Just as a reminder, we do have an option now for you to give online, so feel free to explore that as an option to give. Prayer requests this morning. Continue to pray for Russell Colbert's dad, Jim. He's back in the hospital battling pneumonia. Also pray for Pansy Fusion, her brother-in-law, Michael McDaniels. He's been admitted to the hospital, and he was unresponsive. I talked to Travis this morning, and they're saying that he is doing better now, so continue to pray for that family. We haven't done birthdays since we've been quarantined, so I'm going to mention birthdays for May this morning. If I mispronounce your name, just forgive me. But let's go through these May birthdays. Michaela Benoit, Max Blevins, Drew Fry, Erica Fultz, Kim Howerton, Bailey Jaton, Vanessa Jaton, Braden Lewandowski, Bo Martin, Willie McCauley, Sherry McHugh, Sheila Robinette, Tristan Snyder, Carol Ushry, Philip Ushry, Rick Ushry, Caleb Wall, and Carol Woodall. Happy birthday from Osage Baptist Church. I'm encouraged by Psalms 18, 1 and 2. It says, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. God bless you. We miss you. And we look forward to seeing you all soon. Thank you.
This morning, this has been ministering to me for the last few days, or actually a couple of weeks. The song simply says, the chorus, never once did we ever walk alone, and never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. You know, times like this, it's really hard to lose focus on that, but God is still with us. He's still on the throne, and He is walking beside us. Never walk, never once, is the name of the song.
You are faithful.
God is faithful. To your
Part of our service together. I want to remind you that those telephone numbers will be on the church's website, and you can call us if you'd like to and talk about the things of the Lord, some need you have in your life. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, the second chapter. The book of Acts, the second chapter. For years now, I've had a desire to see revival in my own life, to see revival in the church I pastored. And so through the years, I've read books on revival and talked to people about revival, listened to people preach on revival. And one thing that seems to stand out in all that teaching and all that talk about revival is that revival is messy. It's hard. It's difficult. So I would say that we stand a good chance of having revival because of our situation. Revival took place in the book of Acts, the second chapter, and we're using that as an example today of what God would have us to do or keep doing in order to keep the revival going. Keep it going in our own lives, to keep it going in the church. Hopefully, before too long, we'll be back together and we'll be able to experience that firsthand. I'm anxious for it. I miss you. Your names are all over the auditorium here, and I can see each one of you, but it's not like having you here in person. I almost wanted to make a joke about some people's names that were not here because they missed so much, but I'm going to pass up on that and let Jack Newberry get off this time. Acts 2, look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What can I say? It's been our practice since the New Testament. When folks get saved, they follow the Lord in believers' baptism, they become a part of the church. Verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly. Now, we're going to talk about that word a little bit later. It's not a word that we use a lot, but the King James uses that in this reference in verse 42, and he says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Doctrine and fellowship is important, of course, and we're going to talk about that fellowship. You can have fellowship on the phone or on the internet, but there is something about coming together. I believe that that's the reason the Lord said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together in the book of Hebrews, and so much more as you see the days approaching. So there's coming a day here, perhaps in the future, not very far away, that we're going to be able to assemble ourselves together. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And so those three things continued on in the church. But something else was going on in the church in the midst of that time that was taking place. Verse 43 says, and fear came upon every soul. Am I not on? Technology's great. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing once a week. No, that's not what it says. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily, look at that, daily, such as should be saved. Now I want us to start with five characteristics of the early church that I believe has to be a characteristic of our own church and our own life if we experience revival and if we continue in that revival. Number one, they continued in the apostles' teaching. The apostles were teaching. There was the teaching of the Word of God. It seems as if in the day in which we live that churches have gotten away from the teaching of the Word of God, the teaching of the apostles. We're more interested in entertainment than we are knowing what God's Word says. Secondly, the fellowship was attractive. It had a drawing to it. When people found the Lord, they found something good, and it changed their life. It changed their attitude about everything. The fellowship was attractive. They ate. They prayed together. They went to the temple daily together. And number five, they had a good reputation in Jerusalem. They had a good reputation. The church had a good reputation outside of the church, out in the community. Every place where it touched it had a good reputation. So let's look at this. Number one, added to the fellowship by baptism. Look at verse 41 with me. Then they that, here's the word, gladly received his word, were baptized. Now, they gladly received his word. And you can either receive God's word and be saved, or you can reject it and be lost. The Ethiopian in Acts, the 8th chapter, gladly received it. He was excited about what God was doing in his life, and Here's water, he said. What keeps me from being baptized? And we know the story. You know the story. They both, he and Philip, went down into the water and he was baptized. He went on his way. Philip went on his way. Or there's this story in Acts, the 24th chapter, about Felix, the governor. When he heard the word of God, the Bible says that he trembled. He was scared. It shook him up when he heard the word of God. But he didn't do anything about it. And his statement was, a more convenient time, will I hear it again? That may be your situation. I think that you and I stand in one of two positions here as following God. We can either be like the Ethiopian or those that were in the book of Acts in this second chapter, gladly receiving it and doing what God's called us to do. We can hear it and be afraid, but not do anything about it. Not do anything to change what is going on in our life. Making a volitional decision to receive Christ as our Savior and changing our life. Secondly, they kept the good thing going in verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. The word steadfastly here means to be diligent and consistent in verse 42. They continued steadfastly. In other words, they were diligent and they were consistent in what was being taught. They didn't do this for a little while and then the smoke kind of cleared and it kind of got old and they stopped doing that. But they continued doing that. And the Word of God is good for today. It's as new today as it was 2,000 years ago. It meets our needs today as much as it did in the apostles' lives. It's true today as much as it was true in the apostles' lives. It has not changed, and God has not changed. They were diligent and consistent in the apostles' doctrine. The word doctrine here means instruction. Instruction, what Jesus had taught the apostles, now they were teaching the new church. So what was taught by Jesus, now the church is to be about teaching those that come to know Him as Savior. And we're to be consistent in that. We are to be diligent in that. The second thing that they were diligent and consistent with was the fellowship. The word fellowship here means partnership. But it doesn't just mean partnership. It means participation. If you and I are going to have fellowship with one another, not only do we have to have a partnership, we have to be in agreement in those things if we're going to have fellowship, but also there has to be some participation involved in that. Look with me over in the book of Philippians, the second chapter, Philippians 2, and look at verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any, here's our word, look at it, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy. So, what's this fellowship talking? We have a fellowship in the Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that is living in me is living in you. There's this kindred spirit that you and I share, that Christians share. That the Spirit that is in me identifies with the Spirit that's in you, the same Spirit. So, we are diligent and consistent in that fellowship. Secondly, there's in this fellowship, there is this cooperation. In Philippians 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. The gospel, the word gospel all through the New Testament means good news. So we've got this fellowship in the good news. We've got this fellowship in sharing. It's my responsibility. I'm the pastor of the church. It's my responsibility to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the community, with everyone I come in contact with. It's my responsibility to share it with the church and to continue to share it. But it's your responsibility as a Christian also to share that good news of Jesus Christ. So they had a cooperation in the gospel from the first day until now, the book of Philippians says. In the work of the gospel. The third thing that they were consistent and diligent in was in the breaking of bread. Now, in this reading, you and I can't tell if it's just from the reading, if he's referring to the Lord's Supper, or he's talking about taking meals together, or both. But here the scripture says that they did it in singleness. They did it in sincerity of heart. They were free from any rocks or anything that might make the road rough. It was smooth. The fourth thing that they continued and were consistent and they were diligent in was prayer. We've had a great opportunity to pray. I heard about some lady that talked about she'd always looked for an opportunity to really do a thorough cleaning of her house and said that she would absolutely, if she ever got the time, she was going to give her house a thorough cleaning. And then she wrote on Facebook that really wasn't the reason that she hadn't cleaned her house, because she had plenty of time, she hadn't done it. So, we've had time on our hands to do different things. We've had time to pray. We have sure had time to pray. And that's what the church has to be involved in. That's what you and I have to be involved in if we're going to experience revival and keep the revival going. One of the things that we notice in the book of Acts was that it just kept on coming. It just kept on working. In verse 43, the Bible says, And fear came on every soul. I've lost my place here. I'll have to find it. Acts 2 and 43. God just kept on working. And fear came on every soul. The word fear here is the word for awe, and that awe, wow, just kept on coming. People kept on being saved. Miracles kept on coming through the apostles. The Lord just kept on working. G. Campbell Morgan talked about revival, and he says revival is not to be organized. But we can set our sail to catch the wind from heaven when God chooses to blow upon the people once again. And from what I'm hearing and seeing, there's a lot of folks, pastors, preachers, that believe that God's beginning to blow a wind of revival in our direction. Andrew Murray said, a true revival means nothing less than a revolution, casting out the spirit of worldliness and making God's love triumph in our hearts. C.H. Spurgeon said, a genuine revival without joy in the Lord is as impossible as spring without flowers or light. E.M. Bounds said, it is not great talent or great learning or great preachers that God needs, but great men with great holiness. Charles Finney said that if the presence of God is in the church will draw the world in. If the presence of God is not in the church, the world will draw the church out. The most important decision that you'll ever make in all of your life is what you do with Jesus. We've given you an invitation to make a decision for Christ almost every Sunday that we've been doing this by way of video. And perhaps you have watched all of them, and yet you've not yet made a decision for Christ. You've made a decision for Him. I have been impressed with Franklin Graham on the TV giving folks an opportunity to be saved. I don't believe that you have to be in a church building nor at an altar. Nothing wrong with that. A lot of people have been saved at church altars and at this altar. I've seen a lot of folks saved in my office and kneeling down there in front of our old coffee table and asking Jesus to come into their heart. But you can be saved anywhere you're at. You can be saved right there at home. If you would humble yourself and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart and be your Savior. Some of you feel like, well, I couldn't do it. I can't live the life. I know people who are Christians who are, just live a perfect life. Well, I really don't. If you know them very well, you know that's not true. They're not perfect. They fall off the wagon. They make mistakes. They say things they shouldn't, believe things they shouldn't. We're going to do that, and you'll do that. The important thing is that there is this time in your life that you are born again, that you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Not that you've become a member of the church, and I'm for membership. I'm for people becoming members of the church, and I'm for people following the Lord in baptism and making their public profession. I think that's what the Bible teaches. But your first step in this is that you trust Christ as your Savior. You be born again. As Jesus said in the third chapter of John, you must be born again. So I want to lead you in a sinner's prayer that you might ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior. And I believe that if you mean this with all your heart, that He'll change your life. But I believe it's up to you. I think that you and I have to make a choice about this. We have to choose Jesus to be in our heart. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me and close your eyes and pray this prayer to ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior. Heavenly Father, and you say it out loud. Would you please say it out loud? Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner and lost. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for my sin. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I don't think that your prayer has to be just like that. And mine wording has probably changed through the weeks. I've probably said some different things. But I know that if you accept Christ, you believe that He died on the cross for your sin, you believe that He rose from the dead. The Bible says that if you believe those things and then you ask Him to save you, will. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I believe that if you called on the name of the Lord today to be your Savior, that He'll come into your heart and be your Savior. He stands at your heart's door and He knocks and He wants you to open the door to Him. But He doesn't kick the door down and come in anyway. He wants you to open the door and invite Him in. And I hope that you've done that today. If you've got some other questions about your life, or maybe you've gone through this before but you're just not sure, you'd like to talk to one of us about your decision, we'd like for you to call us. My telephone number's on the website. Tim's telephone number, Mike's telephone number, Roger's telephone number is there, and the church telephone number is there. And we'd love for you to call us We'd like to pray with you. We'd like to talk to you about the decision that you've made. We've got some material that we can send to you. It won't cost you anything. We'll be glad to send it to you and get you started in this new walk with Christ. Now let me pray for us. Our Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy. And Lord, I just want to pray for those folks that received you today as Savior. Lord, I just pray that you'd strengthen their walk. Lord, that they'd know joy unspeakable and full of glory, that your hand would be upon them. I pray for those that are struggling today who are sick. I pray for those who have lost family members in this coronavirus and those who have lost family members from other things. And Lord, I know that the coronavirus has made the headlines every day, but there's been folks that have lost loved ones through cancer and heart attacks and strokes, and they're just struggling. Lord, I just pray that your hand would be upon them, and Lord, that you'd lead them to turn to you with all of their heart. We pray you'd give us guidance. Be with our president, his cabinet, be with our governor as they make decisions to allow us to come back to church, come back to business, go back to work. And I just pray, Lord, that your hand would be with those. Be with Jim Colbert today, and I just pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon him. I pray for your healing to be on Jim's life. Be with Bill Hall and Lee Hall, and just I just pray, God, that you would just comfort their hearts, send grace into their heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Well, Jesus is calling us today.